Welcome to Delera Talks, the business English communication podcast for non-native professionals. My name is Paula, and I am co-hosting this show with Simon.
In this podcast, we're going to be covering communication advice and tips to help express yourself with confidence in English and professional settings. So we hope you enjoy the show.
Okay, welcome to another episode of Delera Talks. Today we are starting with, another episode in our culture series, focusing today on Germany, or in Danish it's called Tyskland. I don't know, what's it called in German?
Deutschland.
Deutschland, yeah. What about in Spanish?
It is Alemania.
Oh, okay, one more time.
So different. Alemania.
Alemania. Oh, I think that's my favorite. Well, we're excited for another culture episode. And today we have, with us a German citizen, but not just any German citizen. She is a Telera German citizen, our senior account manager, Christina. So Christina, welcome to the podcast. And if you don't mind just kind of introducing yourself a little bit.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. I'm very excited to be on the podcast with you guys. My name is Christina. As you said, I'm the senior account manager here at Telera. I've been with Telera pretty much from the beginning, almost, I want to say. I've seen this little company grow and all the cool things that you two guys do with the podcast. So I'm especially excited to be on this episode.
We are so excited.
I made an effort and went especially to Germany for this episode, so it's more authentic.
That's right, because you live in Boston, right? Or nearby.
In Massachusetts. Yeah, Massachusetts. In central Massachusetts. Yeah.
Okay, so then now you're back in the motherland, just flown back in, and so far are you feeling back at home?
Yes. It really, for me, still only takes setting foot on the Frankfurt airport ground out of the plane and I instantly feel at home.
Oh, wow.
That's sweet.
And I'm sure you're, and what we'll talk about today is all of the, interactions that you, I'm sure, feel right away where you're like, okay, yeah, back in Germany. I know that's the way I definitely feel like when I'm, fly to the US and then back to Denmark, for example, that's the same. Mm-hmm. But to start, as usual, we'll start with some fun facts. Facts are fun. And especially about Germany, they're even more fun. Apparently, and now this, I looked this up. This is like the Wikipedia-ish truth. So I would be interested to know if you can verify these. But population around 81 million. A third of Germany is still covered in forest and woodlands, apparently.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, that's pretty nice. Apparently, there are over 2,100 castles in Germany.
I can totally see that, yeah. I think around the area I'm in, it's got to be probably 20 just here.
Oh, wow. Wow. And is it true that some people are converting them into homes and things like that? Or has that always been kind of the way?
That I don't know. I think a lot of those castles are actually ruins. Mm. I'm not sure how many of those castles are fully functional. And I want to say most of them are probably owned by the community or whatever, region they're in. Yeah. I'm not sure if private people can buy those.
It'd be pretty cool to live in a castle.
Yeah. So the first printed book was in German. So that's interesting as well.
Mm-hmm. Because Mr. Gutenberg, he was the one inventing the book press.
I love the way you said, you know what we say in the US, we say Gutenberg. But I love the way you pronounced that. That was nice. Now here you're just, I'm going to slaughter this, but the world's narrowest street is in Reutlingen and it's called the,
Sprauerhofstrasse.
How was that?
So it's Reutling, you pronounce that quite well, and the street is called Spreuerhofstraße.
Okay, Spreuerhofstraße. Okay. And it's 1 foot wide, 31 centimeters at its narrowest point. That's very interesting.
It's very narrow.
Yeah. Never been to Reutling. It's here in Baden-Württemberg. It's in im Schwabenländle, as we say. But I've never been to Reutling.
Okay.
Is that the very south of Germany?
No. The very south would be more like Konstanz, that area.
Mm-hmm.
That would be more south. Reutling is on the Schwäbische Alb. So it's now my geography knowledge might not be the best, but it's closer to like Bavaria.
Okay. That area. That's good. And another fact, so I lived in Germany actually for about 3 years in Berlin, and I noticed that there were a lot of beers, like different kinds of beers, which I personally love. And we wrote down 1,500 different beers. I guess that could be, right?
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't surprise me if it was more than that.
Wow.
Okay. That's good. So today we also have, apart from the fun facts and all, we would like to touch on how Germans usually communicate. So the nonverbal communication aspect and the verbal communication, plus some small tips for non-German speakers when communicating with people from Germany. So that's a bit how it's going to go.
Right.
Simon.
And so I can start with the nonverbal communication, which I thought this was interesting, both in the US episode we did and the Israel episode we did. I'd be interesting to see how these contrast with that. But starting with nonverbal communication and I guess just we'll bring in body language as well into this, when we're talking about communicating with Germans. So I think the first one that we found, and you're gonna verify that all of this or tell if it's all wrong, but the eye contact and how that's expected and respected. And I mean, can you tell us a little bit about that? Like that plays a pretty prominent role when you're meeting with someone.
Absolutely, yes. You want to keep the eye contact, especially in a business setting. If you're talking to someone, addressing someone directly, you want to look at them. Definitely. Keeping eye contact has also something to do with following the conversation and making the other person feel like you're active.
Mm-hmm.
Participating actively in that conversation. So yeah, you want to definitely keep eye contact.
Okay.
Also with your superiors, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. With everybody, really. It's got to do with the eye contact, but maybe a little off the conversation. I've heard from other people that Germans like to stare, apparently. Or a lot of people that are not Germans think that it's staring, but they're just genuinely interested in you as a person. That's why they keep looking at you.
Right.
So if you are in Germany, you feel like people are too, they stare at you, or they're too straightforward with the eye contact, don't be intimidated.
Okay.
It's nothing personal.
That's good to know.
No, not at all.
Good to know.
Good to know.
And then with personal distance, like this is one thing as well that we've talked about, is at least in the US, we talked about that. Yeah, Americans tend to enjoy their personal distance a little bit. Is that the same in Germany?
It depends on the situation, I think. So in a business setting, you probably want to keep a little bit of distance, give everybody their personal space. Whereas when you, for example, Paula, we just talked about it, right? If you go to the grocery store, that's a whole different story. There's literally no personal distance there, no personal space, especially if there's a sale going on. It can get rough sometimes.
So why is that in the supermarket of all places, that's where it gets, that's where it gets pretty close.
That is a very good question, and I can only speculate as to why that might be. So first of all, nobody has ever time to stand in line in grocery stores. And so part of being efficient is you want to be close to the next person. And as soon as they stop putting stuff on the belt, right, you want to put your stuff on the belt so that there's no gap. So you need to be very close to the person in front of you so you can put that stuff on the belt right away and keep the thing going. That makes sense.
It comes down to that German efficiency then, huh?
Probably. I'll just blame it on the German efficiency. It's also, I don't know if you've ever been to one of the grocery stores, especially like Aldi or Lidl. Uh-huh. They're so fast in checking you out at the cash register. You barely have time to put the stuff back into your cart.
Uh-huh. It's impressive. Yeah, how fast they are.
Okay, really so moving on from the personal distance, this is one that I really think is pretty unique because I haven't seen this anywhere else. But if you've done well in a presentation and then I go on the desk and everybody just starts knocking their knuckles on the desk, is that truly common? Is that that's really the way it is? Oh, wow.
And is that like a professional way of clapping?
I wouldn't call it professional. It's just a different way of clapping.
I love that.
Yeah, but it's a thing. Yeah, we used to do that in school, and I've seen it in a business setting as well.
I think that's cool. I think it's like very, a little bit intimidating, a little bit intense. You know what I mean? If I was an outsider and I just saw that and everybody was just kind of knocking on the
table. Isn't that what you do when you play pool? If it was a really good shot, then people would do like kind of knock on the table.
Yeah,
I've seen that.
Yeah. Okay. This last one that I want to touch on, and then we'll get into the verbal communication, but silence and the role of silence. We talked about that in the US, not so comfortable as well. In Israel, not so comfortable with silence. And in Germany, silence is a little bit more kind of normalized, a little bit more as part of the conversation.
I would say so, yeah.
It feels sometimes to me, yeah, that Germans would talk when they have something to say. But if they don't have something to say, then they won't worry too much about filling every silence.
Hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. Well, that's good to know. All right. Well, let's get to the verbal communication. Paola, what do you have for us?
So some things I noticed when I lived in Germany is how direct people are. And at the beginning, this was a bit of a culture shock, because if you're more used to dealing with US Americans, then you see how everything's they are outspoken, but the communication is a little bit less direct. But yeah, I think Germans are polite, but they do tend to have this formal, as a matter of fact, kind of conversation style. Would you both agree?
They are definitely more direct than other cultures. I would agree and attest to that. As far as formal goes, I think the German language itself brings that formality. So there's a different way of addressing a stranger than addressing a friend, just by using the pronoun du or sie. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, in English, you only have you and you say you to whoever comes across your way. And in Germany, it's a little bit different. So you create a little more distance and formality by using sie with a stranger or someone that's, superior to you at work. Your boss, a manager, whoever that might be.
Is that still very common? Because, for example, in Spanish, you also have the do and the z, like the equivalent, but it's only used nowadays in very formal situations. But if I were to uni in Spain, I wouldn't necessarily use z for my professor.
You always use z here. You always start with z. In a school setting, especially, I don't think I've ever come across a professor, an actual professor, that was okay with saying do or, you know, addressing them informally. At work, you will always start with the formal, and then maybe your boss will say, you can call me by my first name, and then you're on a first name basis. But they have to offer. Like, you don't just walk in and kind of say, hey, you know, Paul, how are you, to your boss. No, you always start formal. And if they offer to, you know, be informal with each other, then it's a different story. But yeah, it's still a thing, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Also with colleagues?
Yes, especially with colleagues that are older in age.
That's interesting. That's a bit different from other cultures. Mm-hmm. How about small talk? I feel it's a little bit less of a thing in Germany. People do engage in small talk, but I feel they tend to get straight to the point a bit quicker.
Yes, I would say so too. So small talk, it depends on how good you know a person, I think. So you would, you know, if you're, let's say, so I used to work in a bank, right? As a teller. So I would be in at the front desk and, you know, people would come in. If I know the customer, you would have some small talk. You would talk about the weather and maybe how the weekend was, just like very simple stuff. I remember in my first year, my boss back then told me never, ever ask how they are because you will never hear the end of it, which is very true. If you ask someone how they are, they will tell you how they are, and this can take a while.
Yeah, so if they're having a bad week, you're going to be there for a little while, huh?
yes
and you're honest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, you are honest. I mean, if you're going that far to actually tell people how you're feeling, you're going to be honest about it, I would say. But yeah, if it's like random small talk with strangers on the street, I've experienced in the States, for example. Yeah, that doesn't happen too often in Germany. That's not a thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Interesting. Yeah. Simon, anything you wanted to add?
Yeah. So one thing that I was thinking about, like, what the role between honesty and you know, politeness, right? And that kind of that dynamic, because we've talked about this. I think it's funny, and you know, in when we did the Israel episode, it was very much that, like, oh no, honesty is politeness, and it's the way of showing that we care. And whereas in the U.S., of course, it depends on the area, but like where I'm from in the South, it's more so like, you can be honest up until a point, but then, you know, watch out because, you know, we kind of sugarcoat things, right? But, I mean, would you say that it's one or the other in kind of communicating with Germans, that it just comes down to honesty is the higher valued thing than politeness?
You can be honest in a polite way. I don't think the one excludes the other. I think there's a way of going about being honest that's okay and doesn't necessarily offend or hurt people.
Right.
And I think Germans do that. You know, nobody ever, especially in a professional setting, you will never hear someone telling you that what you did was not good or you're stupid or something like that. Nobody would ever say that. Typically, it's constructive criticism, right?
Right.
So they say what you did is maybe not so good because of these reasons. And for my, you know, my personal opinion is this is how you could have done it better.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So then
that's something I've also noticed, because when, so you said, oh, what you did was perhaps not as good as it could have been. And I would say for some cultures, already that is already direct. For example, in the US, you say, oh, that's interesting. But how about this other way of doing it? So you would never say what you've done might not be correct. So it is, I do think, when if you're not used to communicating with people from Germany, it can come across as a little bit too rough.
Yeah.
For some cultures. But then when you get to know them, it's so sweet. It's like, I would like us to find a good solution for this thing. So it comes from a very good place, but...
Yeah, the emphasis is more on, like, you know, the let's help you get to the way that you're doing this better, right? So let's work on improvement, and not so much that you did this wrong, right? So,
right.
And I think that's interesting. But what, so say I'm going to work in a German company and I'm in a meeting, would it be okay for someone, like, would it be normal for someone in the meeting, if say we're a group of 10, to outwardly like tell me I didn't do something correct and be, you know, in that way in front of everybody else? Or would it be kind of culturally, you know, not so normal, and it would be more something to do in private?
That also depends on the setting. I think if you're presenting something and give it up for discussion to everybody, you might hear someone telling you, you know, this is maybe not the best work of yours, something like that. If you're just presenting and it's not up for discussion, nobody will interrupt and like tell you this is, you know, that was a terrible presentation. Typically, they don't do that unless you're in school and it's your teacher and that's what they need to do.
But talking about honesty, I think it happens also the other way around, not only with negative things, but when something is positive. If I hear a German person telling me that's good, I do believe that's good. Like they wouldn't say, oh yeah, that's good, just to
yeah, look nice. Definitely. No, typically they don't say that.
Yeah.
And they don't mean it, yeah.
How about humor? I thought this was interesting and a little bit in my research and also, you know, that we've worked together now for a couple of years and I don't know, you know, I haven't worked with so many Germans in my life, but I mean, what about the role of humor in the business setting? Do you think typically that's something like a good way to kind of bond with someone you're working with is to be humorous in the business setting? Or you think that's kind of, they're a little bit segregated?
Despite of what you hear about Germans and what you can see on the internet, we do have humor and we're actually quite funny. And humor is a thing in the workplace. Every time I worked with people in Germany, there was always fun involved and humor involved. And yeah.
I totally agree with you that Germans are funny and that they appreciate humor, but I do think the humor is very different from other countries and the translation might not, like it might not translate well. So like irony, I think everything's a little bit more literal. And so when it's translated back into English, then it might not be funny and the other way around. I don't know if
it's... Yes. It's also a little drier, I want to say, and maybe a tad sarcastic.
A tad
and also
sarcastic.
One thing I
okay.
Noticed,
good to know.
Very sarcastic. One thing I noticed as well, so I love stand-up comedy. And when I lived in Berlin, you have lots of opportunities to go to stand-up comedy events. And even if Germans find it funny, they might not laugh out loud. And I don't know if that happens everywhere, but it was quite tricky for the comedians that were from abroad to understand that. It's like, oh, it was hilarious. But then no one really laughs out loud.
Interesting.
It was just funny. Good. Do we have anything else in terms of verbal communication?
I think this last part was just around privacy. And I think we kind of touched on that a little bit as well, like and how you're working in the workplace and the role of privacy. Like what are some things that are appropriate to ask versus maybe not so appropriate? Of course, you develop a relationship, right, with your colleagues. And then, you know, maybe further down the line, it becomes more appropriate. But initially, if you're just starting to work with a group of Germans or in a German company, I mean, what do you feel like is kind of the line? Like, do you feel like you should hold back a lot?
And that's a tricky question. So if you're the HR person interviewing someone, yes, there's a lot to hold back or a way of to, you know, formulating questions. If you meet a colleague for the first time, I think you can be somewhat personal, like you would typically ask, you know, where do you come from? You know, what kind of school did you go to? Mm. Especially if you're from the same area, you might know some people that went to the same school. You know, you might want to ask them if where they worked before they came to that company. Even, and then maybe not on the first day, but down the line, you would probably ask some more about their personal status, like do you have kids or, you know, what's that kind of
right.
stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think that, yeah, that's, it's fascinating. It's like that. I think it might be intimidating for some, you know, non-Germans starting to work in a German company, for example, where they're not sure exactly where that line is, and it's probably safer to kind of wait, you know, to see what other people are doing, right, and then follow that.
Mirroring is always a good example. Yeah. A good tip. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree.
We're getting close to time, but I wanted to touch on one last point because I think this is really interesting, and also the fact that, Christina, you know, we're all working in this startup, and it's really dynamic, and we're changing a lot and moving really fast, and we always have to be very flexible, right? But I mean, from what I've read and what I understand, typical German business culture is much more focused on like kind of general structure and alignment, where it takes a little while to make a decision. But when everybody makes that decision, everybody goes in that direction, right? Versus, let's say, American business culture, which is much more about kind of flexibility and yeah, we'll make a decision, but let's touch on it again in a couple weeks kind of thing. So it can be, these cultures can be a little bit different, right, in terms of the you know, the business practice. What's your experience been like, you know, working in this startup where it is, you know, a lot about flexibility and you know, being dynamic? Do you feel like those, you know, your inner German self kind of struggling with that at any point?
For me personally, no, not that much. But I see what you mean, and I know that German companies are not known for changing quickly or adjusting to changes quickly. And I agree to that. I think for some of them, depending on what kind of company it is, it might take a while to make a decision. But then, as you said, once they made that decision, they typically stick to it. And they don't revisit decision-making processes like once a year, okay? So once they make that decision, they're going to stick to it for a while. And then unless something goes wrong, they might not revisit the decision-making process again. That makes sense, yeah.
Okay.
That is a bit different from other cultures.
Yeah, that being said, I mean, everything I just said is obviously kind of played into a little bit of stereotypes, and you have to take everything with a grain of salt. I think as Germany also develops a bit more of a startup culture, especially around Berlin and everything, things change around. You know, with new generations coming in, I think the cultural awareness is different than it used to be. I think might some also have something to do with social media and people just being more connected all over than they used to be. So I think going forward, you will notice a shift in the cultural behaviors, even in Germany. It might take another decade or so, we don't know. But yeah, so take everything with a grain of salt, and you know, it also depends on where you are in Germany.
Okay.
It's such a good point, and thank you so much for bringing it up. We've mentioned this in the other two episodes, but it's true that we hadn't pointed it out yet here. Like, everything we're saying, it's from our experience, from research, from what we've seen, and it's more in general terms, but of course each person is totally different.
Right, and we talk about the scale. I think it's interesting when you talk about cultures, it's always good to think about it in terms of in relation to what, right? So this being, you know, more structured and everything like that in relation to what, you know? And I think that's always something to keep in mind. I had the Spanish student this morning, and he says, oh, we're very, very direct here in Spain. You know, it's like, we're almost rude. You know, we're so direct. We just tell it how it is. And I'm like, so would you say you're as direct as like Germans? Oh, no. You know what I mean? And so it's like, it's all about, in relation to what, right? So let's finish off with some tips, some real takeaways. Paula, maybe you can start us off on what are these tips that non-Germans communicating with Germans should think about?
So one thing, especially in business, I would say be prepared. I think Germans appreciate ideas that have been thought through. And when you have a meeting and a discussion, they really value that. So it's not just, I'll throw it out there off the top of my head. So that's one thing. Usually decision-making, we've said that before, is a little bit slower and more detailed than in other countries. So that doesn't mean things are going wrong. It's just the way it is. Don't use exaggerated or indirect communication. for business. So be direct, say what you want to say, and don't exaggerate. Christina's nodding.
Yes, yes. I had to learn that myself. Just, you know, say it how it is, really. If you need to say something, just say it, and they will deal with that better than trying to read between the lines.
Does it ever annoy you how much I say awesome and absolutely?
No, I don't hear it anymore, to be honest with you. I think
it's a white noise, you know, now.
I've lived in the States for 4 years now. And I think, you know, working and hearing it on a day-to-day basis, I've got very accustomed to it. And I think I'm almost a little bit Americanized in my ways of how I communicate. And I notice it when I come back to Germany, actually.
Right.
But it took me a while. I was very confused in the beginning. I did underestimate that specific part of cultural difference, and I did not understand it at all. Like,
yeah,
it didn't make sense to me.
It is odd when you hear, oh, this is the most in the world when you're in the States, and then you go somewhere else and you're like, was this not good? Just because they said, oh, that's good, right?
Right.
We talked about Germans being honest. So if you're communicating with one that is being honest, don't take personal offense if they tell you that you made a mistake in a business situation, as long as it's polite. What else? Do you guys have anything to add?
Be on time.
Oh, yes, yes. That as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and don't be offended, generally. Just don't.
All right, I'm gonna try that one.
if you don't understand, you know, if you don't understand the situation or what they said, or you don't understand the context of what has been said, just ask.
Yeah.
Nobody will ever hold that against you. They'd rather have you clarify something than, you know, sit there and be mad at them or upset or something like that, because that's not their intention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good to know. That's a solid one to end it. I think that's a good one to take away. I like that.
Yeah, this was so nice. It was so nice to have you, Christina. Is there anything else you wanted to add before we wrap it up?
Everybody should come to Germany, and if it's just for the pretzels and the baked goods, come to Germany and experience for yourself.
Will do, will do. Well, it was so nice to have you. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun. And thank you as well, Simon.
Yeah, thank you.
It's always
you.
Great. Great. So that's it for today. I would love to hear if you have any suggestions about our next culture, if you would like to hear about any in particular. I've heard India is a very popular one, so
We
might do that. We'll see. Join one of our webinars. You know, we have one every month, and I really hope to talk to you soon. All right. Bye for today.
And that's all we have for you today. We hope you enjoyed it, and remember to subscribe to Talera Talks. We'll be back soon with more.
And visit our website at talera.com for more valuable content on business English. You can also request a free consultation on the best ways for you and your team to improve your communication skills. So have a great day and keep learning.